are now listening to the eWatchmen podcast with your host, Robert King.
Welcome to the annual episode of the Watchman's Post podcast. I say annual jokingly, but it has been almost a year since the last program. I think I had mentioned that I was taking a leave of absence to work on a personal project, restoring an old farmhouse and barn and all that, and it took pretty much most of the summer. And I never did really get my studio set up there and, doing other programs. And I've moved back to the city now for the winter in the frozen tundra of Michigan here. And then, as you probably know as well, I started a project of setting up another website. I got somewhat bored with the plain vanilla of the blog that I had been administering, and it turned into a much bigger project than I had anticipated. A bit of a learning curve for me. I'm not really all that technically savvy. But here it is, the first of the year, first program of 2014. Jehovah willing, it's not going to be another year. But I should probably tell you right off now that I have another personal thing coming up. As a matter of fact, tomorrow I'm going to my sister's in Indiana. She's going into the hospital for a pretty serious operation, and I'm going to be staying with her till she gets on her feet, which may be a few weeks or even a month. I'll have my laptop with me. I can always write and, answer mailbag questions and all that, but I won't set up a microphone and... Anyway, I do want to apologize. There are some questions here that I received several months ago, and they didn't get into the mailbag, and they didn't get on the program because there wasn't any. So I apologize for that. Hopefully you're still listening. So let's get to some of the questions right now. Hi, I would like to ask you a question. When will the weeds be thrown into the fire? Before the sealing of the chosen ones, or after? I think it will be this way. After 1,150 days of the 1,260 days of Daniel 8:14, every person that commits lawlessness inside the kingdom of God will be out of the kingdom, but not destroyed. These people will want to take vengeance or revenge against the real chosen ones, and they will help the beast to kill them at Armageddon. Jesus will throw these people into the everlasting fire. And then he asks, or he or she, will it occur this way? Well, I think you're onto something there. I'm not sure as far as the time period, whether it'll be the beginning, but I don't, the harvest is the conclusion of the system of things. So as soon as Christ comes and initiates the harvest, a separation commences. How rapidly it will transpire, I don't know. But I think, I don't have all the answers to that. And I'm gratified that people, brothers and sisters out there, are thinking about these things. And, that's my purpose, is to get people looking at other aspects of this. But I definitely agree with you that there is going to be, the organization is going to be fractured. And what did Jesus say? Many will be stumbled, and they will hate one another, and they will betray one another. And Jesus went on to detail it, and he said that, family members will hand over their parents to have them put to death. We haven't seen that yet, have we? But that's where we're heading. And I think definitely the ones who are put out will take revenge. And that's the way it's always worked, hasn't it? The angels will be involved in that at some point. You recall the 35th Psalm. I have it, let's see, open in front of me here. David wrote, "May those be shamed and humiliated who are hunting for my soul." He's speaking as one of the anointed. He was, you know, typified the anointed. "May those be turned back and be abashed who are scheming calamity for me. May they become like chaff before the wind, and let Jehovah's angel be pushing them along. Let their way become darkness and slippery places, and let Jehovah's angel be pursuing them. For without cause they have hid from me their netted pit. Without cause they have dug it for my soul." So that really harmonizes with what Jesus said, that during the conclusion he will send forth his angels, and these weeds will be collected out, put out into the outer darkness. Isn't that what the psalm said? "Let their way become darkness, and let Jehovah's angel be pursuing them." Well, I think we're going to find out the answer to this question soon enough. We're definitely coming to the critical point, and I think 2014 will probably be the breaking point for this system of things. But like the questioner noted, there is a period of 1,260 days, 3.5 years. The society is you know, really interpreted that into meaninglessness, you know, by attaching it to 1914 and all that. Another related question, this is very similar, from another questioner: in what sense are the angels supposed to throw the weeds into the fiery furnace? I thought everybody was going to be tested, with the exception of the congregation of Philippi. Okay, he's referring to Revelation chapter 3, and I'll read that for you as well. That's where Jesus was speaking to one of the seven congregations, and he said, "Look, I will give those from the synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews, and yet they are not, but are lying. Look, I will make them come and do obeisance before your feet and make them know I have loved you. Because you kept the word about my endurance, I will also keep you from the hour of test, which is to come upon the whole inhabited earth, to put a test upon those dwelling on the earth. I am coming quickly. Keep on holding fast what you have, that no one may take your crown." Well, Jesus here was not saying that those in the symbolic congregation of Philippi would not be tested, because he said, you have kept the word about my endurance. Christ endured, of course, his whole life and his whole ministry, but especially during his hour of test, when he was arrested in Gethsemane and was kept up all night under interrogation and beaten and mocked, and then, of course, the most torturous death imaginable. And so he's telling these anointed Christians there to keep the word about his endurance, and he will keep them from the hour of test. It's not that they will not be subjected to the test. It's that Jesus will support them, that their faith will not break. And isn't that what Jesus said to the Apostle Peter on the very night, just moments before Jesus was arrested? He said, "Look, Peter, Satan has demanded to have you men, to sift you as wheat." And then Jesus assured him, "But I have made supplication that your faith does not give out." And so that's what we can expect. The weeds, the evil ones, will not have Jesus' support. And so they will compromise big time. And like with Judas, if they don't have Jehovah's spirit, then Satan will enter into them and they will be used to betray their brothers. And that's what the previous questioner was referring to, and the passage I read from Psalm speaks to that situation. And again, what Jesus said about brother handing over brother to have them put to death. So, but what did Jesus say? To keep holding fast what we have, that no one may take our crown. And whether you have a heavenly hope or otherwise, keep holding fast to the truth. And Jehovah will see us through this terrible time of test that is destined to come upon the world. Okay, I've got a question here from someone who says that they were never baptized into the JW organization. He said he's been back and forth for years. But the nail in the coffin was when I read the book Jehovah's Witnesses and the United Nations, How They Fooled Millions, I think it was called, written by a sister. When I talked to my elders at the congregation in a private meeting at night, they said the society isn't even worried about that, Dwight. My jaw dropped. Then they put me on the spot, saying, anyone can say lies on the internet. I said I got my information from the United Nations website and the awakes that were written since they had been involved. Anyone with a brainstem can see that they made a swing in the way that they spoke of the UN during that time. So I stopped going. I saw some of your videos, and I like the way you preach Jehovah's Word diligently. And I feel so at ease learning from you. You're a fine example of the way Jehovah wants his message told. Okay, well, he said, now my point. He said, I've never been baptized, but he says, I love God and I want to totally dedicate myself to him. I just can't bring myself to go to a church that doesn't preach the truth of God's word and feel like it's a righteous baptism in my heart. And to be honest, years ago, I turned to drug use while I was away from Jehovah. I've not done any, though, in 8 years, but I still have a cigarette habit. I know Jesus says to be baptized. It just means to be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But do you see my dilemma? Are you able to help with any advice and possibly maybe a direction where I could get baptized? You may use this in a podcast if you like. And he says, by the way, I'm a single father, and I don't want to be 40 years old and unbaptized anymore. It's not a good example to my children. Well, yes, Dwight, I see your dilemma, and many are in the same position as you. Let's face it, you have been stumbled. For whatever reason, you said that the NGO, Watchtower's NGO thing was the nail in the coffin. Well, it doesn't really have to be that way, does it? I mean, do we have to allow ourselves to be stumbled? Being stumbled, essentially, is an admission that we're following men. I mean, Jehovah's never let us down, has he, or Christ? But it's the men whom we look up to, who've taught us the truth, and whom we feel are Jehovah's representatives, his mouthpiece and his spokesman and all of that. And when they betray God, then we become stumbled. But isn't that really telling God that we don't really have faith in him? So if I may be so bold, that my friend, is your dilemma. And not just yours, but many millions. I never heard of this book that you mentioned, so I Googled it. And it turns out it's a sister who I'm somewhat acquainted with. I had a discussion board some years ago, which I let go about a year ago. It just became too much to manage, but Tammy used to be a member of the discussion forum. I didn't know if she had written a book, but I suppose she'd taken a lot of the information that I researched and publicized on my internet. One of the first articles I wrote was about the NGO affair, and then over the years I did more and more in-depth research and then compiled everything into the book Jehovah Himself Has Become King. But somehow I doubt if Sister Tammy pointed out what Jehovah feels about this from the standpoint of it being addressed in prophecy. I mean, I've tried to add insight to give brothers and sisters the insight not to be stumbled, to show them from the scriptures that Jehovah long ago foresaw this apostasy. We're seeing it now develop. I think it'll become more in full bloom when Christ arrives. We'll see the Watchtower become completely apostate. And like I said in my opening remarks, the organization will be fractured. But until then, I offer no alternative. Others have asked me if I would do baptizing, and the answer is absolutely not. I was baptized in the organization. Fortunately, I was baptized back in the 70s, so that was before they inserted, you know, the caveat. Do you recognize that your baptism brings you into association with God's Spirit-directed organization? Blah, blah, blah. Okay. But even at that, brothers and sisters who have been baptized since that time and have been forced to, you know, insert that into their baptismal vows, does that nullify their baptism? Of course not. They dedicated themselves to God. The Watchtower will have to answer as to Jehovah for why they inserted themselves into the sacred baptismal vows, just as they will have to answer to God for why they, for 10 years, were secret partners with the United Nations, and why they wrote dozens and dozens of articles and made many, many references to the United Nations and all their wonderful programs. So, yeah, Jehovah's Witnesses were fooled. They were duped into carrying this stuff and presenting it to the public. They were doing so, though, out of submission to the faithful slave, feeling that that was Jehovah's will. But who bears the greater responsibility for that? It's not Jehovah's Witnesses. It's not even the elders. What did Jesus say in the 12th chapter of Luke? And it was in reference to the faithful and discreet slave. He said, "Whomever people put in charge more than usual will be demanded of him." And so Jehovah and Christ are going to demand an accounting from those whom they have put in charge. I don't fight against the Watchtower's authority. I just point out their hypocrisy, their double dealing in areas especially of prophecy, their hypocrisy in dealing with abuse victims. But my perspective is from the perspective of prophecy, from Jehovah's point of view, as I can perceive that from God's prophetic word. And so my purpose has been to impart that. It's sort of twofold. I help people. I try to help people who have been stumbled and disturbed by these things to gain their spiritual balance. And I also directly publish Jehovah's judgment message to the leadership of the Watchtower. And I've done that through many so-called bulletins, open letters that I've mailed directly to them and press releases and all that sort of thing. And that's what I determined that, you know, a watchman is supposed to do, announce Jehovah's judgments. Like it says in the banner now, in the newly designed website. I used to have that. It's sort of a play on the Watchtower's announcing Jehovah's kingdom, but I hope you see the irony of that. Yes, my friend, I do see your dilemma, but here's the deal. I always advise brothers and sisters and people seeking Jehovah's favor to go with the program the Watchtower laid out. And you can benefit from it. I certainly did. If you've got a cigarette habit, I think the brothers and sisters can help you with that. You couldn't get baptized anyway, you know, even regardless of what you feel about the baptismal vows. I assume that was one of your objections. But, you know, the Watchtower Society won't baptize anyone if they're a smoker. I think that's been the case since about 1973 or 4. But so that's all I can offer by the way of encouragement. Hey, listen, my entire point of view is that Jehovah's Witnesses are God's people. The Watchtower has served as this mouthpiece, as this faithful slave. Jehovah's yet to judge it, though. But it's his organization, if you want to call it that. That's what Jehovah's Witnesses refer to it. I have no objection to that. So if God is going to judge his organization, why would we want to be on the outside of it? I mean, there's a lot of good aspects about it. And just the, you know, the routine of going to meetings and studying and being with friends, that's very encouraging and upbuilding. And Jehovah's Spirit is still there. There will come a time when it will not be. But I encourage you until that time to avail yourself of it and subject yourself because of your dedication to God. If it's God's will, then you would subject yourself to it, right? I mean, Jesus subjected himself to the Jewish system of things, didn't he? He subjected himself to his Jewish parents, and then when he became a man, he went to the meetings, didn't he? He went to the synagogue. He went to the temple regularly. He went to all the festivals, even though he knew they were corrupt and that Jehovah was going to judge them. He was still there. Right after his baptism, he got up in the synagogue and read from the scriptures. So Jesus set an example for us in all things, didn't he? And it is interesting, though, you know, those baptismal vows. There's a scripture in Isaiah chapter 26. And, you know, all prophecy, but I would have to say Isaiah is my favorite prophecy because it really is a conversation between Jehovah and his people who would be chosen and anointed on earth during the time that Christ comes. And this is one of those speaking to Jehovah, and he says, Jehovah, oh, adjudge peace to us, because even all our works you have performed for us, oh, Jehovah, our God, other masters besides you have acted as owners of us, but you only shall we make mention of your name. They are dead. They will not live. Impotent in death, they will not rise up. Therefore, you have turned your attention that you might annihilate them and destroy all mention of them. So who are these owners, these masters who have acted as owners of Jehovah's anointed, who are going to rule with Christ? Well, it would have to be the Watchtower, right? They have acted as owners of our faith. But that will all change again. And this evil slave, this man of lawlessness, when Christ comes, he will be shown to be dead. That's why Jesus called him the son of destruction. Impotent in death means he will be declared spiritually dead. And then, of course, the lake of fire, ultimately. Now, here's another related question. From the same perspective as the last. He said, how would you recommend conducting a Bible study? My daughter, who is 20 years old, whom I have neglected to conduct Bible studies with most of her life, has started reading the Bible and is willing to study now. I've given her a rundown on the lowdown, the real truth as compared to Bethel's, and I would like to simply read the Greek scriptures together with her and explain it as we go, and she can continue reading the Hebrew, and I'll answer any questions she may have. Or is there a publication you would recommend? I've heard that you had recommended one, but that's been a long time ago, and I can't recall which podcast I heard it in. I would really like to study your book with her, but I think it would be a little deep and isn't really for those who are not familiar with Jehovah's Witnesses' beliefs. Yeah, well, I agree with you on that. And again, I apologize. This question has been in the hopper here for a long time. One of the problems I had, and I apologize again because I know I lost some email questions because when I was working on the new blog, I also did a reinstall of my operating system on my Mac. And I have a backup made by Apple. It's called Time Machine. It backs up everything automatically. So I backed up everything, and then I wiped my hard drive, and I reinstalled a new operating system. I upgraded to Maverick from Mountain Lion or whatever. Because I did that, I couldn't access my Time Machine because I was using this anyway. So I lost a lot of stuff. And I lost some questions that I had earmarked. So again, I apologize. I'm not going to let a long, long time go, though, before I do another program. And if I can't get to a microphone, I will use the mailbag. Oh, by the way, have you seen that little feature? There's this website called Tout, T-O-U-T, and it's sort of like Twitter, only it's for video. And instead of giving you like 148 characters, they give you 15 seconds of video upload. And so you can use your iPhone or your iPad, shoot a 15-second video, click, and it uploads it immediately to your Tout website, and it'll stream it to wherever. And so I put the feed on the sidebar there on the mailbag page and on the JW News page. And I intend to use that for sort of a little daily scriptural thing. I can't really do much with it. In 15 seconds, you can barely read a scripture, but it's just something I have a little fun with. And I think some may enjoy hearing a scripture read in that sort of a setting. I'm just walking around, you know, wherever I happen to be, I pull my iPad out and read a scripture. Anyway, what would I recommend? I think it's great that you're reading the scriptures together. There really is no substitute for that. My wife and I try to do that regularly. And it, you know, that's where the truth is, and it's very upbuilding. Recommending any of the society's books, you know your daughter's spiritual progress better than anyone else. Does she need just the basics? I mean, does she have good reading comprehension skills? You know, I think that, you know, there are a number of, the Watchtower writes some really fine teaching material, and they use a lot of interesting illustrations that, you know, really try to reach people. I have no objection to using any of those things. You know, it's basically, you know, it's just the prophecies that the Watchtower has skewed. And ironically enough, that is what is foretold in prophecy. Like in Isaiah, Jehovah said he would cover the heads of the visionaries. Isaiah refers to them as being drunk. And of course, the Watchtower claims that's Christendom's drunkards, you know. Read the book of Joel, you know, it's obviously referring to it makes mention of the priests of Jehovah who are ministering at the altar. And it says, "Wake up, you drunkards, and wail and weep." And so from Jehovah's standpoint, they're drunk as far as, you know, being unreasoning and being unable to comprehend Jehovah's judgments, attaching everything to 1914 or to Christendom. They can't see that Jehovah is going to judge them. But everything else. I mean, the truth is the truth, and the Watchtower teaches the basic truth that will allow us to acceptably serve Jehovah and Jesus. And if we apply ourselves and develop faith, hopefully we'll get to where we need the Watchtower less and less. And when the time comes, we can make the transition to Jesus and leave the Watchtower. Okay, this is the question I just got today. There's a young man that communicates with me on Google Plus, and I don't always catch his little messages, but they're there, saved for me. He said, "What do you think of Greg Stafford, the former Jehovah's Witness?" He said, "The man is very intelligent and he knows how to break down scripture unlike anyone I have seen. His understanding of Greek and Hebrew is impressive." I'm somewhat familiar with Greg Stafford. I know he had written a couple of books years ago, Jehovah's Witnesses Defended. And then, unfortunately, Greg, he ran off the rails somewhere because he's starting his own little sect. He calls them something, Witnesses for Jehovah or something like that. And, that's not going to fly. I mean, Jesus does not recognize any sect. He recognizes one congregation, and that congregation may have a lot of flaws and wicked men in it, but Jesus certainly does not recognize a sect. In fact, if you read a couple of his letters to the seven symbolic congregations, he commended them for hating the sect of Nicolaus, and he says, "As I do." So, remember the Apostle Paul said, any man who promotes a sect, give him, an admonition, and if he doesn't listen, then, cut him off. So, I'm sure Greg Stafford is very intelligent. I'm sure he knows the scriptures. I don't know Greek or Hebrew. He knows a lot more than I do, and apparently able to debate. But where is that going to get you if you're not accepted by Christ, is, So be careful with these guys. I wish he would. It all goes back to Jehovah's Witnesses being unwilling or unable to accept Jehovah's judgments. It's like, there's a psalm that says it refers to those who are seeking to find a lie. If you're seeking to find a lie, you're going to find it. You're going to find a lot of them, right? But what's your motive? Shouldn't we rather be seeking to find the truth? So it seems to me that, the heart is treacherous, right? And I think some don't want to commit themselves to the rigors of a life as one of Jehovah's Witnesses, or maybe you don't want to be persecuted, or maybe you're just tired and discouraged and don't want to go to meetings, so you find a lie. Here it is. The NGO thing. They can't be Jehovah's organization because these guys did this and that. You found your lie. Well, maybe Greg Stafford found his lie, but if that's what you're looking for, then I can't help you. I don't know if Jehovah or Jesus can. Anyway, I think that's going to do it for me. And I'll look forward to speaking to you again. And until that time, may Jehovah bless your search for the truth.